יברכך אדוני וישמרך. יאר אדוני פניו אליך ויחונקה. יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. These are the days of Elijah. Glory to God. Most of you know that's my favorite song. And brethren, these are the days of Elijah. Most of you know that I have studied the prophetic scriptures. It really has been my life for many years because that I was part of that engineering team all the way back in the late 60s that developed the original Mark of the Beast system. And most of you also know that I've studied this Bible character Elijah probably a lot more and deeper than most people. The three last verses in the Old Testament are very important. Malachi 4:4-6. Remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Brethren, those are strong words. And we know that the true God is God. Only the true God who sets free from bondage, who can be identified and who chose to identify himself as the God who led the children of Israel out of the bondage of slavery in Egypt is the true God. Any God that cannot make that claim cannot be the true God. There's only one true God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these are the days of Elijah. And we should understand what Malachi was talking about here. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. We are the people who are at the edge of this. And he said, remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded to him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Well, brethren, let's take a look at this. Let's look in with some detail at this prophecy about the prophet Elijah, whom God would send before the great and terrible day of the Lord. In other words, before the time of trouble and before the Messiah appeared, Elijah would come. Now here's that prophecy again in Malachi 4, verse 5 and 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And we're going to consider this prophecy about this man Elijah, his message, and the experiences and tests which came to people associated with his message. Elijah means, my God is Yah, or Yahweh is God. God is God. The name Elijah actually means the first commandment. God is God. My God is Yah. Yahweh is God. God is God. What kind of man was this guy, Elijah? Well, physically, he was an extremely hardy and powerful man. He was capable of covering enormous distances on foot and enduring great hardship on very limited resources. And spiritually, he was a faithful and obedient servant of the God of Israel. And though sometimes he was ill-tempered and capable of even fierce retaliation, Elijah had a sense of humor. He wore a prophet's mantle, and he was clothed with a girdle of leather about his loins. Now, one of the things that a lot of people don't know is that Zacharias, John the Baptist's father, actually took the leather belt of Elijah from the temple and gave it to his son John, and John actually wore the leather belt of Elijah the prophet. Now, you can find this in 1 Kings 18, I think about verse 46, where Elijah actually ran some 20 miles. And in 2 Kings, first chapter, you see that he was pretty short-tempered. But also, in that same chapter of 1 Kings 18, along about verse 26 through 29, you see he had a good sense of humor. But above all, he was faithful, he was obedient, and he was courageous. First Kings 19, verses 10 through 14, I think point that out pretty good. Actually, I guess it's 1 Kings 19, verse 9, where God manifested himself to Elijah when Elijah was down in a cave. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets, and with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Elijah was capable of taking Yahweh's message to Israel in a time of literal and spiritual drought. He was tireless, hardy, and extremely obedient. He's a lesson to all of us believers, especially to anybody called to preach. And I'm guessing probably every one of us has somewhere along the line felt, only I am left. Haven't y'all felt that? Well, there's more than just you in me. Praise God for that. But let's look at it a little bit. Israel was in a state of total apostasy, like the whole blooming world is today. And what's sad about the apostasy today is that the people don't know. And back then, I think it's in 1 Kings 16, during the reign of King Asa of Judah, Ahab started to reign. Ahab was the son of Omri, and Ahab reigned over Israel out of Samaria for about 22 years, I guess. And Ahab did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. Ahab holds the record for evil. Israel had a lot of wicked, evil kings, but Ahab was kind of like Israel's Clinton or Israel's George Bush. Ahab did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And there was nothing that his evil predecessors had done that was a big deal for Ahab. He took the wife Jezebel, who was the daughter of a king of the Zidonians, a Baal worshiper, and Ahab served Baal. He set up altars for Baal. Ahab was just wicked. He holds the record for wickedness and evil in the history of Israel's kings. He did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings that were before him. Well, anyhow, God sent Elijah to take a message to this wicked, evil king. Now, it took some courage, brethren. Now let's look at Elijah's message. And Elijah is known not just for his physical strengths or his weaknesses, but for the message that he preached. And this is the thing that's most important for us to get a hold of. And what was Elijah's message? if we look at what Malachi tells us, it implies that the man Elijah would come to earth before the Messiah appeared at the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And that's one reason, brethren, why the Pharisees rejected the claim that Yeshua was the Messiah, because that man Elijah hadn't appeared. And the disciples, they also were confused about that issue. They knew the scriptures, and it confused them. So Jesus told us clearly and in no uncertain terms that John was Elijah. And there's no way he was talking about John being some sort of reincarnation of Elijah. That's as foreign to anything biblical as you can get. That is nothing but pagan. But in Matthew 17, his disciples asked him, saying, "Why then say the scribes that Elias must first come?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Elijah truly shall come first, and restore all things. But I say unto you, that Elijah is already come, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. And likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them." The disciples then understood that he spoke unto them of John the Baptist. And there's no way that John or anybody else should be a reincarnation of the prophet Elijah. John's testimony now was that, no, he was not Elijah. And this is a source of confusion for some people. He was a voice, a messenger, crying in the wilderness. We read about it in the first chapter of John, verse 19. And this is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he said, "I am not. Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" And he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." You see, brethren, understand this. There's no contradiction here. Whenever there's an apparent contradiction, what you need to understand is both are correct. Both John and Jesus were correct. John was not the literal Elijah, and there's no way he or anybody else is a reincarnation of Elijah. Reincarnation is totally pagan. It has no place at all in biblical Christianity or Judaism. Okay? It has no scriptural support whatsoever. So when Jesus said that John was Elijah, he meant that John was presenting the Elijah message. Both Elijah and John presented the same message, the Elijah message. And brethren, these are the days of Elijah, and every one of us ought to understand that we have a call to one extent or another to proclaim this Elijah message. You see, this is really the bottom line of what those last three verses in Malachi tell us. So what is the Elijah message? The Elijah message is a call to obedience, a call to forsake paganism and its preoccupation with sexual and covetous sins. Fear God and keep His commandments. That's the Elijah message. Return to the law of God and fear God and keep His commandments. That is the Elijah message. To break off all these associations with idols. Now, covetousness is idolatry. And America today, brethren, sadly, is the culture of covetousness. Now, the first part of the Elijah message is a call to obedience. It is calling people back to the law of God. And the world is full of preachers preaching smooth things to tickle people's ears, soft words that people want to hear. They'll say, "We're no longer obliged to obey the law. We're free from the law. The law is done away with. The law is obsolete. Didn't you know that we're under grace and not under the law? You've heard it all. Only believe. Don't worry about obedience. Well, these preachers are not the true and faithful servants of the Most High God. They're ministers of Satan. They're false prophets, leading multitudes to destruction. The preachers Yahweh will use in the last days. Brethren, I hope you hear this. Because all of us, to a greater or lesser extent, have this call of Elijah. And these preachers that the Lord God will call in these last days, just before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, will be called to preach the Elijah message. And I do believe that that is what those last three verses of the Old Testament are about in Malachi. Brethren, that's where we're at. And in these last days, we're going to proclaim this Elijah message. We're going to remind people of the need to keep the commandments, particularly the commandments which are being blatantly broken by millions. And let's look at that. Keep the commandments. Elijah said, "As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today." So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came fast when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" Elijah answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, and that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam." There's two serious sins. And we should notice that Elijah pointed out these two serious sins. You have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. All right, now, Balaam is plural. I mean, you didn't just follow Baal. You followed a whole bunch of Baal. Now, Baal was the pagan god of nature and fertility. Now, in these ancient agricultural societies, apparently, the people thought that there was some supernatural being or Baal that dwelt on every piece of ground. The farmers probably thought that from the Balaam, or the fertility gods of the different regions, came the increase in crops, fruit, and cattle. And the worship of Baal was always lasciviousness. It had lascivious rites. They even sacrificed their children in the fire by their parents. They would kiss images. Baal was often associated with the goddess Asheroth. And the Asheroth was a goddess of fertility. And it's the same as Venus or Astarte or Ashtaroth. And this was a goddess of sexual love, maternity, fertility. And prostitution was a religious rite in those services of that goddess, whatever name they wanted to call her. But it was definitely associated with Aphrodite or Venus. And it was a popular deal. I mean, you could sell a religion like that. Well, Asheroth was connected with Baal. And it involved gross sexual sins. And covetousness was also a big part of it. They were so covetous, they would actually sacrifice their children because they wanted to prosper. You say, "Man, oh man, that's unbelievable." Well, what are they doing today with abortion? I'm telling you, brethren, it's the same thing. And we can see that the worship of Baal and Asheroth always incorporated very gross, immoral, sexual, and covetous rites. And the Asherah poles, a lot of times you read about the Asherah poles, they're really nothing but large phallic symbol. Well, anyhow, this kind of religion was worldwide. And all cultures had these various pagan sex festivals, like Easter and Christmas. And these things ought to be forsaken. And we look at the works of the flesh that Paul gives us, and It's the same thing. The works of the flesh. It means sexual sins. Mental activity that is expressly forbidden in the law of God. Adultery, fornication, homosexuality, incest. Galatians 5:19, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So here was Elijah's challenge. He said, how long halt ye between two opinions? In other words, how long will you remain undecided about this matter of which God to worship and which commandments to keep? If Yahweh is God, obey Him, follow Him, keep His commandments and His feasts. But if Baal, if your God of covetousness and lust, if Baal is what you want to worship nature and go that way, if Baal is God, then go ahead. Keep Baal's festivals, Christmas and Easter. But you cannot keep both, brethren. I hope you understand this. You cannot keep both. God ain't happy with it. No, He ain't. And this is part of the message in these last days. Make up your mind. That is the Elijah message. And it demands a response. And it cannot be ignored. How long halt ye between two opinions? Are you going to serve Baal and call it Christianity? All right, go ahead. How long halt ye between two opinions? It demands an answer, and it cannot be ignored. You have to make a decision one way or another. And you'll make the decision to go to hell after Baal. You can call it Christianity till the cows come home. But you'll make that by default unless you make that firm decision to follow Yahweh. And that means keeping His law and keeping His peace. Another aspect of Elijah's message is to call, to turn Yahweh's children, to call them to repentance, to call them to be reconciled to their parents, and to call the parents to be reconciled and look to the welfare of their children. And that means teaching Torah, brethren. That's why I so rejoice when I hear about R.W. and Don teaching Torah, having Torah time, because that's what it's really about. God commands it, and that's really what it's all about. Education today, the big problem is the children don't have a conscience. While you teach them Torah, they'll have a good, sharp conscience. And He shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Brethren, for the most part, you look around, and it looks like there's a curse coming. Wherever the Elijah message is preached and acted upon, it will manifest itself in happy homes and obedient families. But sad to say, brethren, in this evil world, this call is a voice in the wilderness. And this call meets with open ridicule from so-called Christian psychologists. My goodness, why not Christian idolater? And it meets with stone silence. And sometimes, brethren, I've got to tell you straight out, it meets fearsome opposition. But it's time, brethren, that in Holy Ghost boldness we fearlessly proclaim this Elijah message. And because John did that, he lost his head. Yeah, Herod beheaded him. At that time, Herod, the tetrarch, heard of the fame of Jesus. And he said unto his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him." For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him, and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John had said unto him, "It's not lawful for thee to have her." And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude, because they considered him a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod, whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, "Give me here John Baptist's head in a charger." And the king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake. And them which sat with him at meat, He commanded it to be given her, and sent and beheaded John in the prison. And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. What of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, brethren? We're at the door of that great and dreadful day of the Lord. That day is even at the doors. And once again, this Elijah message is going forth. It is. And just as in the case of John, those who preach this message are going to have a price to pay. And there are people being raised up even this day with similar spiritual characteristics that Elijah and John the Baptist had. Spiritual hardness, strong spiritually, faithfulness, obedience, and perseverance. And they will be preachers who will break with paganism and the festivals of paganism that glorify illicit sex. And many of them, brethren, are going to be beheaded by the Antichrist, just as John the Baptist was beheaded by King Herod. And others are going to be caught up by the angels, like Elijah was, caught up without seeing death. At the end, brethren, at the Savior's return. You remember what it says in Revelation 20? And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them. Think about this now. John saw thrones. There were thrones for these people. I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Don't worry about getting your head chopped off. It's a good way to go. It's an ugly thing to have to watch somebody else have it done, but it ain't no big trick when it's done to you. Take my word for it, okay? And you'll sit on a throne. Hallelujah. You'll be greatly honored for all eternity. It's a good deal. If you get a chance for it, go for it, brethren. Just like all the martyrs before us. You know, they could have been delivered, but they chose not to be delivered, that they might attain unto a better resurrection. Well, if we think about Elijah and what he experienced, there's a few interesting stories associated with this guy Elijah. And all of them have important significance to us in this time. Remember, all these things were written for our examples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So let's look at some of these things. The widow up in Zarephath. The word of the Lord came unto Elijah, said, Arise, and get thee to Zarephath, which belonged to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her, and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. Wow, that's pretty wild, isn't it? You hear what Elijah requested? It was reasonable to begin with, a little water. And first he needed a drink. And then suddenly, all of a sudden, it became really excessive, almost cruel. Make me a little cake first. Well, what does this part of the story about Elijah really symbolize? What is it trying to tell us? What does it mean to us who live in these closing days of the Earth's history? Where do we fit into this picture? Who does this widow woman actually represent? And what should she be teaching us? Well, I think we ought to recognize that the Elijah message is a message from God. And that is the first step to absolute commitment. How long halt ye between two opinions? If Baal be God, serve Baal. But if Yahweh be God, you better serve Yahweh. Elijah was asking her to put him before her son and before herself. But make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me. And after make for thee and for thy son. Do you believe that God can supply your needs when all your stores are virtually run out, when you got nothing left? Would you put the Elijah message first at that time? Could you honestly say that I believe Elijah's message? Even when he said, "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail." The Lord is no man's debtor, brethren. Everything, however small that it is, or however large, that we give to him, you can't outgive the Lord in any given contest, brethren. It'll be repaid a millionfold. So, I think the lesson for us here is, in the case of food shortage or in sickness, and then finally in death, when he visited that widow's home, her son became ill and died, remember that? But the boy was raised to life by Elijah. Well, actually by God, but it was a miracle that is associated with Elijah. You see, there's no greater evidence of God's power than the resurrection of the dead. The Elijah message raises people who are spiritually dead. I'm going to say it again. The Elijah message raises people who are spiritually dead. Those who believe and live out and preach this Elijah message will call down the power of Yahweh to raise the spiritually dead. Now look at that Obadiah test. Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, and he secretly sided with Elijah in his call to obedience. And at very great risk to himself, he had hidden 100 prophets of God in caves and fed them with bread and water. And he risked his life to do this. And it came to pass, after many days, 1 Kings 18, that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, "Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria, and Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, "Go into the land, unto all fountains of water, and unto all brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts." So they divided the land between them to pass through it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him. And he knew him not, and he fell on his face. And he said, "Art thou that, my lord Elijah?" And he answered, "I am. Go tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here." And he said, "What have I sinned, that thou wouldst deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? And as the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee." And when they said, "He's not here," he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, "Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here? And it shall come to pass, as soon as I'm gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab that he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told, my Lord, what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord? How that I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophet by 50 in a cave, and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, go, tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. Well, it finally worked out. Elijah convinced him, go tell that wicked king. And Elijah confronted Ahab. He said, how long halt ye between two opinions? Well, the other thing I think we need to remember about Elijah is fervent prayer. Remember when he said, go wash in the Jordan 7 times? Elijah's servant, Elisha, had learned this lesson from his master. Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. And so Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, and he put his face between his knees, and he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked, and he said, there's nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. And it came to pass on the 7th time that he said, behold, there arises a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot, and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass, in the meanwhile, that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezebel. Brethren, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He had to send him out 7 times. Is there a cloud yet? But the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And it means faith. Right now, faith. Right now, he said, go look, see if you see a cloud yet. Right now, go look, see if you see a cloud yet. He had faith. Right now, faith. Go look, you'll see the cloud. Go look, you're going to see the cloud. Go look, you're going to see the cloud. See, he had the faith that God would do it now. And brethren, this is the kind of faith that we got to get to. And it's about effectual, fervent prayer. Now, what makes it effectual? Praying in the will of God. Not regarding iniquity in our heart. Praying in the will of God, to know the will of God. And we study the scriptures to know the will of God. And it's for the glory of God. That's what makes for effectual, fervent prayer. That it is for the glory of God. Hallelujah. For the glory of God. That's what makes for effectual, fervent prayer. Hallelujah. I really enjoyed hearing that message of Pastor Dal at Don played the other day about how Pastor Dal was exhorting these brethren on to faith. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Yeah, let's see where the elders are. And let them pray over him, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And he shall pray. And the prayer of faith, shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Brethren, we just saw this same thing happen again. It rained not for the space of 3 years and 6 months. Yeah, it wasn't on the front pages, but we've got a hard, solid record of the historical fact. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain. Yes, the most abundant, blessed, abundant rain ever in history. and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, we need this right now kind of faith, like Elijah. The call and message of Elijah is for all of us. Every one of us have a call to proclaim this Elijah message. And Jesus called his disciples unto him, and he said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting. He had compassion, brethren, lest they faint in the way. And his disciples say unto him, whence would we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? And Jesus saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7, and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and the fishes, and he gave thanks, and brake them, and gave to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude, and they did all eat, and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men beside women and children. Oh, brethren, we need this right now, faith. It's going to be a matter of survival. Because one of these days soon, we're not going to be able to buy or sell otherwise. And Elijah said to Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. Do you believe the Elijah message, brethren? Do you believe it to that extent? I can assure you that everyone who will stay true to that message will receive a double portion of the Holy Spirit. You hear what I'm telling you? If you will stay true to that message, you will receive a double portion of the Holy Spirit, as did Elijah's servant, the prophet Elisha. So what was Elijah's message? How long halt ye between two opinions? You want to be into sex and covetousness? Go ahead, go to hell. But if God is God, and you want to serve Him, you better serve Him. You better keep His commandments. You better fear God and keep His commandments. How long halt ye between two opinions? Hallelujah. The 3 last verses in the Old Testament are very important. Remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Brethren, those are strong words. Brethren, every one of us have a call to proclaim the Elijah message. The Elijah message is a call to obedience. It's a call to forsake paganism. It's a call to forsake the preoccupation with sexual sin and covetousness. It's a call to return to the law of God. How long halt ye between two opinions? But brethren, if you're faithful to proclaim that Elijah message, and every one of us have that call, it's not just one man, but it's for all of us at this time. And if you'll be faithful to that call, that double portion outpouring of His Spirit is going to be there. I hope you can receive this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua.